So thank you, my family. Thank you very much. So they're just going to sit a little to the side. And I'm going to ask you if you would take your Bibles and turn with me. First, we're going to look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. And then I'm just going to kind of introduce the message a little, and then we'll pray, and then we're going to look at a verse in John chapter 1. And this afternoon, I hope you will understand this afternoon, the message is, usually I like to just have one text and stay, you know, kind of centered around one text, but we're going to look at several different verses. I have a theme. Usually I don't just preach, you know, in a theme, but the Lord, this was actually something the Lord encouraged me with, actually partly through my son, back several years ago, as we were living up north, in further north in Quebec. And one thing that I found really exciting, I guess, as a parent, is to see how even little things can bring such joy and enthusiasm to children. And perhaps you know, if you're grandparents or parents, you can probably identify that sometimes the smallest little thing can get children excited and enthused, I guess you might say, as well. And I find that really interesting. And, you know, when we used to live up north, we used to enjoy walks along the St. Lawrence Seaway. The water was cold. It was only about 37, 38 degrees Fahrenheit. The balance of the year, most of the year. So it was quite cold. Sorry, I just have a notification on here about our meeting. Sorry, I'm just, the water was very cold, but we enjoyed walking on the seaway, and we enjoyed finding different things, and sometimes the children would get very excited about a certain seashell or something. To me, what was exciting was if we got to see a whale. I enjoyed seeing a whale surface. That was something to get really excited about. But I find it really interesting because children, you know, small things would really get them excited. You know, maybe a pair of fuzzy warm winter socks at Christmas time, or perhaps you know, taste testing something new. But you know, it's interesting when I thought about that in a similar sense. The children, quite often, the term they would use would be, "Hey, Daddy, come and see this," or "Come and taste this," or "Come and look at this." And when I reflected on that phrase that the children would quite often use, you know, "Daddy, come," and I thought about in the scriptures the fact that there are several occasions that we see this invitation, "Come and." And then we're going to look at a few different words. And I've simply entitled this an urgent invitation. An urgent invitation. And you're already there with me in John chapter 1. We're going to read John chapter 1, verse number 39, and then we're going to pray. John chapter 1, verse 39. "He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your many blessings, and I thank you, too, for this time that we can spend together, even virtually, Lord, but I pray that you would help our family to be a blessing to Pastor Linville and the dear church family at Corinth Baptist Church. Bless their missions conference. Thank you again for the privilege to be able to join them on this Sunday of their missions conference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First thing I want to draw your attention to is here in John chapter 1 and verse 39. It's interesting, this phrase, "come and," is used here really in a sense to invite people to come and meet the Lord. To come and meet the Lord. In John 1, after the baptism of Jesus, the scripture reports for us that two disciples asked Jesus where he dwelt. And it was an honest question. It was one that would be, well, it would be very understandable, but they would be curious about that. And in John chapter 1, verse 39, Jesus invited them, "Come and see. Come and see." These two disciples had been the disciples of John the Baptist. They had been with John the Baptist in his ministry. But it's interesting, later in that verse, later in the chapter, we're told these two disciples, they went, they abode with Jesus. And then later on, these two disciples, they believed in Jesus. And they began following Jesus and became devoted disciples of Jesus, never to return back with John the Baptist. All after an invitation, "Come and see." Later in the same chapter, another individual, Nathanael, is given the same invitation, perhaps you recall, from Philip, to come and see. After having asked the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael, he too came, if you can see, you can say he came to see Jesus, he went to see Jesus, and he too believed in Jesus and became, as you know, a devoted disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. Later in the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, after Jesus' famous meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well, she went back into town, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me, just go over a few chapters to John chapter 4, because in John chapter 4, verse 29, after the famous meeting with the Samaritan woman with Jesus, she went into town. In chapter 4 of John, verse 29, she went into town and she said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? It's interesting. The Samaritan woman, she believed in Jesus, and then she in turn invited others to come and see, to believe in Jesus as well. Later in chapter 4, the Bible tells us that many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman, and later says that many more believed because of his own word. And in John 4, verse 42, we'll just go down to verse 42 in chapter 4. The Bible says, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, as I contemplate this initial invitation, this urgent invitation to come and see. And I don't ever like to take it for granted. Several years ago, as we've been in church planting ministry, several years ago, the Lord impressed something upon my heart that I like to do. Anytime there's a first-time visitor that comes, I don't ever like to take it for granted that they are born again, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's something that several years ago the Lord put on my heart. And each time a new person comes that I've never seen before, I like to ask them. I like to say, hey, can I just ask you, are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because if you don't, I'd be glad to show you from God's Word how you can. And something that's been that was really a delight, I actually asked that to the father of a young boy that came to the VBS a couple weeks back, and he said, yes. He said, I'm a born-again believer. He said, I actually go to a different church, but he said, yes, I'm a born-again believer. And then he proceeded to tell me, he said, our little guy, seven-year-old Nolan is his name. In French, they say Nolan, but seven-year-old Nolan. He said, last night, so that was the Tuesday night of the VBS, he said, after we got home, after the VBS, and after the Bible lesson that you'd given, he said, he decided to pray and ask Jesus to save him. And so that was such an encouragement, a blessing for us to hear that little Nolan, seven-year-old Nolan, has placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I asked him, I said, Nolan, and of course in French, but I said, Nolan, I said, who saved you? He said, Jesus. And so what a delight to be able to point others and to be able to invite others to come and see. And I don't want to take for granted, but I wonder maybe this afternoon, as you folks are there in Corinth, if maybe one of you have not experienced coming to Jesus and seeing Jesus for salvation, to be able to place your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I would urge you today not to delay. We're not promised another day. We're not even promised another breath. But once you do believe in Christ and experience the joy of knowing Christ, you too will say with the psalmist, you can say, come and see the works of God. And you'll be able to sing just like the famous hymn we have in the hymn books, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Come and see. Second phrase, I want you to turn with me a little further in the book of John in chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse number 12. It was after the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus meets with seven of his disciples on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. After the disciples disembarked from their fishing boat and they came to the shore in a smaller boat, they had a rendezvous with Jesus for breakfast on the shore. And Jesus had prepared breakfast and said to them something in John chapter 21 and verse number 12. Follow along with me, John 21, 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Come and dine. Jesus was essentially showing to his disciples his love and his provision for them, as well as his desire to remain in fellowship with them. And I hope that you folks there in Corinth enjoy fellowship. I believe from what I understood from Pastor Linville, you just had a church, kind of a church potluck, a church dinner together. Is that right? Is that that true? You just enjoyed a church dinner and luncheon together there at the church? Well, we enjoy having fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and whether it be around the table as a congregation here at the church plant, or inviting folks over to our place here at our place to enjoy a meal with us, we enjoy the fellowship with other believers. But the Lord desires to have fellowship with us too. And I find it encouraging in this verse as he encouraged his disciples, come and dine. He essentially wanted to stay in fellowship with his disciples. And we have been given by the Lord two avenues of fellowship with our Lord and Savior. We can talk to the Lord through prayer, and the Lord speaks to us through his holy word. And while it is great to fellowship with others, it is of much greater importance to faithfully spend time communing and having fellowship with the Lord. And John chapter 15, you probably know well John chapter 15, which is part of what we have termed the upper room discourse between Jesus and his disciples. After the Last Supper, Jesus challenges his disciples to abide in him, to abide in Christ, to stay close to him and fellowship with him and stay attuned to him and to the leading of his leading in our lives. John 15, verses 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I wonder today, are you in close fellowship with your Lord and with your Savior? Perhaps you have strayed away from the Lord. Perhaps you've drifted away from the Lord. Perhaps you some sin that you have not confessed or that's unrepented that has caused you to lose the joy and the exuberance we were talking about before and walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with him. I would encourage you today to begin walking in once again in the close fellowship with him. Abiding in Christ. It's interesting, Revelation chapter 3 is written to the church at Laodicea. And I've heard this verse used for an invitation for the unsaved, but really this is given to a church, to people that are supposed to know the Lord, but they have been out of fellowship with the Lord. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a sad commentary that essentially we can be born again, we can know the Savior, and yet we can be neglecting fellowship with him. Come and dine. The third one is come and hear. I want to encourage you to, I want to ask you, sorry, invite you to go with me to Psalm chapter 66 and verse number 16. Psalm chapter 66. And verse number 16. This next invitation, in our urgent invitation, is an encouragement to hear and pay attention to what great things that God has done. And I just quoted this a few moments ago, but in Psalm 66, verse 16, the Bible says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. You know, when I think about the work of the Lord, and especially about missions, I think about how exciting it is to be able to hear what God is doing around the world through the faithfulness of those who are serving him. And the task of world evangelism is carried out by the local church in obedience to the Word of God through supporting like-minded missionaries who are sent out as an extension of the local church. And this example is clearly seen in the Word of God concerning the ministry of the Apostle Paul as an extension of the ministry of the local church. The missionary then in turn has responsibility to keep the supporting church, the local church, informed of his ministry activities on the field of service. And I find it thrilling to know that even though perhaps you folks there in Corinth may never have opportunity to come up to this part of Canada, this part of Quebec, to see us, to be able to maybe lend us a hand in the work of the Lord, but you can have a part either here in Quebec, I'm not sure if you have other missionaries in Quebec or not, or other missionaries around the world, you might never have opportunity to go, but you can partner with them through your prayers and through your financial support. And supporting missionaries by the local church, it helps church members have a broader scope of the work of the Lord than their own personal field of influence. And it also encourages the believers to hear of God's work abroad and to have a part in souls coming to Christ locally and abroad. And this is fruit that amounts to your heavenly account. Your investment in worldwide missions is fruit that abounds to your heavenly account. We see this example in the life of the Apostle Paul. After his first missionary journey, he and Barnabas, they returned to Antioch. And they gave them an update of the work of the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible tells us that when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I'm certain that for the church at Antioch, I'm certain it was a great source of encouragement for those believers and a great blessing as well to see, that you can say, the fruit of their labors and the fruit of their participation with the Apostle Paul, and to hear what God was doing through their own missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. And I would encourage you, if you have not done so, I don't personally know all the missionaries you support. I know one of the missionaries, the Teachouts. Pastor Linville was speaking to me about the Teachouts. They are great friends of ours. They're down in French Guiana, and they are dear friends of ours. We appreciate them, and we love them in the Lord. But I would encourage you, if you do not already do so, to take time to read the letters of the missionaries that Corinth Baptist Church, that your home church supports, and to hear and listen maybe as they are presented to you, and to pray faithfully for the missionaries, and to pray specifically for the requests, for the concerns, for the praises that are mentioned. Because not only will it be a blessing to the missionaries as well as you participate with them in prayer and in giving, but it will also encourage your heart as well. Come and hear. The last one I want to draw your attention to, I would like to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 35. We're going to return to the book of John to finish John chapter 4 and verse 35. In late 2017, we were living quite a bit further north in Quebec than we are now. In late 2017, in the late summer, we were living on the north shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway in Havre-Saint-Pierre, Quebec. Yes, it's kind of a mouthful to say, Havre-Saint-Pierre. We were living on the north shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and we were blessed to have a bountiful harvest of just wild berries that grew. We had wild blueberries that grew. We had they called them crowberries as well. They're about the same size, a little smaller than blueberries, but they're black. There was also various other berries as well. They had cloudberries. Sometimes people call them baked appleberries. There were some raspberries as well. And it was interesting, the crop was bountiful. It was just, they grew wild, but the crop was bountiful. And so we enjoyed harvesting them and then putting them in the freezer. My wife would add them to muffins throughout the winter or add them to pancakes throughout the winter. And so it was good to have all those antioxidants. And it was interesting, if we were picking those berries, I remember specifically as we were picking the berries, and one spot was our favorite spot to pick. It was right on the shores of the St. Lawrence Seaway, kind of up a little bit on a cliff, overlooking the St. Lawrence Seaway. So you could take a glance and pick some berries, and you could look up, keep an eye for whales at the same time. So it was really a treat. But I remember somebody was walking along that trail. It was kind of a little tourist trail as well. Somebody was walking along the trail, and they asked us, "What are you doing? What are you in the process of doing?" They said, "Well, we're picking berries." He said, "Oh, what type of berries are you picking?" So we told them, "Well, we're picking some crowberries," and that was the crowberries. It was interesting, as we were picking the berries, there were some folks that said, "Oh, well, oh, it's a lot of work. We said, yeah, it's a lot of work, that's right. They said, oh, it's hard on the back. Oh, it's hard on the back. Yeah, it's hard on the back. Yeah, I agree, it's hard on the back. They said, oh, it takes a lot of berries to fill the bucket. It takes a lot of berries to fill the bucket. They said, yeah, that's true. They're just little berries. Yes, it does. They said, it's time to, oh, it takes a lot of time. Yes, it's hard work. It's hard on the back. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience to fill the bucket. And then somebody else came by and they said, oh, yeah, those berries, oh, we don't really like them as well. They're not quite as sweet as what we would like. You know, as I thought about that, I reflected upon that. And I realized that there's a different type of harvest that the Lord gives us, and it's the spiritual harvest. The harvest of souls who need to hear the gospel. And in John chapter 4, verse 35, right after his meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus was trying to help his disciples to see the multitude of lost souls who needed to be saved. And in John 4, 35, you're there with me. John 4, 35, Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Although Jesus did not say these words exactly, I believe he was kind of trying to convey an urgent invitation, come and harvest. Get involved in the harvest. You might remember with me that that Jesus, when he was with the disciples there, Jesus had talked to the Samaritan woman because his disciples had gone in to find some food, to get some food for the meal. And they had come back, and the Samaritan woman had left, and they were surprised that he had been talking with the Samaritan woman. And she had left to go back into town. And that's when she gave the report, you know, come see a man that told me all things ever that I did. In verse 29, is not this the Christ, she said. In the meantime, in verses 31 through 32, the disciples wanted Jesus to eat. And Jesus, of course, he refused. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And then the disciples, they asked one another in verse 33, they said, any man brought him ought to eat. I could just go picture the disciples saying, hey, did you give him some meat? Hey, Thomas, did you give him some meat? He was trying to help his disciples focus on the spiritual harvest, on spiritual sustenance. And although I wasn't there, I can just about picture that as Jesus, perhaps just as Jesus said these words in verse 35, perhaps it was about that same time that the woman, the Samaritan woman, had gone back into town and she had said, given this report to these people, and they had started to come back to Jesus. And I can just about picture that maybe as she was bringing these people back to Jesus, Jesus was trying to challenge his disciples. Hey, you guys are worried about the temporal. You guys are worried just about the food that the sustenance is going to run out in a few short hours. And perhaps just at that moment, as the crowd was leaving town to come back to where Jesus and his disciples were near the well, he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Unfortunately, like we encountered with picking berries on the north shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway up in northeastern Quebec, unfortunately, it's a sad commentary, but many believers feel the work for the harvest of souls is too hard. Many feel it's too time consuming. Many feel it's not rewarding enough, or that it is not to their liking. You know, I think even the villages we just went to, that lady that we met, there was another gentleman that I just spoke to on Wednesday, my son and I just spoke to on Wednesday, and I gave a word of witness and testimony to him and shared how Jesus had changed my life and had saved me and forgiven me and given me hope for eternity. He said to me, it doesn't seem like Jesus is doing a lot of changing today. I said, Jesus is always in the business of saving souls and transforming lives when people will let him and will turn to him. And he said, I will take this, I will read this, and I will consider it. And he asked me if there was contact information. I showed him we had our contact information on it as well. You know, as I think about that, I think about others that over the years the Lord has allowed us to be able to give a word of testimony to and witness to. I think of one gentleman in the Native Reserve. I went to a remote, isolated Native Reserve on the north shores of the St. Lawrence. Pakwa Shipping was the name of the village. I remember I'd gone door to door. I knocked on all the doors. I'd gone out there by plane. I knocked on all the doors. And the one day, and I had to come back because I had to get the ferry across the river. It was a little hovercraft ferry. It was the only passenger hovercraft in all of North America across the St. Augustine River and on the north shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway. And so I thought, well, I didn't quite finish the home, but I don't want to miss my ferry to get back over to where the little inn where I was staying. And so I thought, I'll come back the next day and finish. I came back the next day, and I was knocking on a door just across from the Native Band Council, the Innu Band Council. As I was doing that, there was a fellow, he had just stepped outside of the band council to have a cigarette, and he called over to me and said, hey, what are you doing? And so nobody was home in that house, so I left the literature on the door, and I went over and I talked to him, and I told him what I was doing. And he introduced himself, his name was Javé, and I said, Javé, it's a pleasure to meet you. I gave him shook his hand, and I showed him what I was doing, and he said, you know, he said, I received that on my door yesterday. He said, you know, he said, I got thinking. He said, I kind of said a prayer to God. I said, God, can you bring back to me the person that left this on my door because I want to talk to him. I told him, I said, Javé, I said, I'm here. I said, God obviously answered. And he said, you know, he said, my friend has told me that I need Jesus. I said, well, your friend is right. He said, but he said, I have a weight of guilt. That's what he told me. He said, I have a weight of guilt. I said, Javé, there's only one person that can remove that, and it's Jesus Christ. And I was so surprised. He said, do you have time? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, would you come into my office? So I was invited right into the band council office, the Native band council office, and sit down with Javé and show him from the Word of God what he could be saved. Although he didn't pray to trust the Lord, I prayed with him after, and he didn't want it. He wasn't ready to pray yet. He wasn't ready to trust the Lord yet, but I prayed after for him, and I said, I just thank the Lord for my new friend, and I asked the Lord to just continue to reveal himself to Javé through his word, and that Javé would soon trust him as Savior. And he took me after, shook my hand, put his other hand on my shoulder. He said, Wes, he said, I want to thank you. He said, I've never had anybody pray for me like that. He said, I think soon, he said, I'm going to be joining you on this trail, on this path. You know, I find it really sad how many believers find a work in the spiritual harvest. They complain maybe about it, saying it's not rewarding enough. It's not, it's too hard. It's backbreaking. it's too difficult. But it was around 2,000 years ago that Jesus said those words to his disciples. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Come and harvest. And the call is still the same. It's urgent. Come and harvest. Souls are all around you, even there in Corinth, Maine, who need to hear the gospel. Although we don't always know how someone will respond to the gospel, we do have a biblical mandate to be personally and actively involved in the work of the harvest of souls. Think of the parable of the sower who was faithful in just sowing the seed. I wonder, how are you actively involved in the spiritual harvest? In your own personal witness, in interceding for the lost, in praying for boldness, and always being ready to give an answer concerning the hope that you possess in Jesus Christ. Do not put off till tomorrow or for more convenient time. The time is now. Be laboring in the harvest field of souls. The fields are ripe unto harvest. Come and harvest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the invitation that we have to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I thank you for the invitation that we have to be able to have fellowship with him, come and dine. I thank you too, Lord, for the invitation that we have to come and hear, and for the blessing and the thrill and the encouragement it is to hear of your work and what you are doing. Lord, I thank you too for the invitation that you have given to us, just as as we've sung about here this afternoon, send the light, rescue the perishing. And I forget the name of the other song. Lord, I thank you for these hymns that we've been able to sing that encourage us into in the same way to be involved in this great harvest of souls all around us. Lord, I pray that you bless the missions conference at Corinth Baptist. Thank you again for the privilege to be involved, even virtually. I pray that you bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.